In this town, there's no off-season. The news never stops, and neither do we. It's always game day in Cleveland with Andy Baskin and Daryl Ryder.
Always game day in Cleveland, the postgame edition. He's Daryl Ryder. I'm Andy Baskin. The Browns lose the Battle of Ohio to Cincinnati, 21-14. The score really doesn't even reflect anything that's going on around the game. The game wasn't that close to begin with. And then the storyline concerning Deshaun Watson, his Achilles injury, the fans, that will be the big story going out of this game. Unfortunately, because Nick Chubb's return should be the big story, even in a loss, it should be a big story. But, Daryl, let's go back. First, let's talk about the injury itself. Deshaun Watson, clearly it looked like an Achilles injury, so you tell me where we're at on this thing.
Yeah, it is an Achilles rupture, the Browns fear, which means this season will be over. Kevin Stefanski told us he will undergo testing on Monday to confirm that injury, but the fear is, in fact, it was a ruptured Achilles. You could see on the replays that CBS was broadcasting the game. Anytime you see that lower calf twitch the way it did, as Watson was, after dropping back in the pocket, it looked like he was getting ready to tuck and run. And as he began to step forward, his lower right leg there, you could really see that twitch in the lower calf, which is usually an indication of an Achilles rupture there. So it was pretty apparent immediately. Watson was on his knees, bent over for several minutes. His trainers came out to tend to him. And certainly it didn't take anyone long to realize the severity of the injury. The entire Browns bench emptied. The Cincinnati Bengals all took a knee. So it is more than likely that Deshaun Watson's season is over, albeit a disappointing the six-plus games that he was on the field from a performance standpoint. But this really, kind of sets us back to years gone by, because before the game, we had a backup quarterback change, and that was Dorian Thompson-Robinson, and not Jameis Winston was the backup quarterback, but Winston was the emergency quarterback and officially inactive. But DTR banged his finger on his throwing hand. They're going to see how that looks and feels on Monday as well. So they had to go to Winston in the fourth quarter as the emergency quarterback. And stop me, Andy, if you have seen this.
It's Kevin Stefanski having to deal with 13, 14 quarterbacks at a time. I mean, if there's one head coach that can deal with that, it's Kevin Stefanski. It'll be interesting to see what the Browns do. It'll be interesting to see who the starting quarterback is next week. We'll see how severe this injury is for DTR. Take us back to the beginning of this, though. Why was DTR the backup quarterback? Why wasn't Jameis Winston the backup quarterback? And, he touched on that after the game.
Yeah, Kevin Stefanski told us after the game that there was a package of plays that they had in there that they potentially wanted to use DTR for, and that's why they made the flip. Ultimately, they really didn't get to that package, maybe they did when DTR came on the field, but that's basically why the change was made, because there was a special package that Stefanski wanted to use.
All right, let's get to the bigger story on this, too. The players were extremely upset after the game because they felt that fans were cheering Deshaun Watson's injury. Is that the best way to just kind of sum it up in a second?
Yeah, the locker room was incensed. It actually started with Myles Garrett. In fact, we spoke to Myles Garrett before we spoke to Kevin Stefanski. Usually, Kevin talked first before anyone. But Myles came in the media interview room first. Kevin was second. And Myles just basically came out and said that it was inexcusable the way the fans reacted, regardless of how you feel, how he was performing on the field, regardless of anything that might have happened off the field. You don't cheer or celebrate an injury to a player who is putting his body on.
No matter what team.
Right. Yeah. And that was the theme within the locker room. Greg Newsom used some very colorful language. He said it was BS, and he said that about 10 times within 30 seconds. The way the fans reacted, Jameis Winston had about a 2-minute-plus monologue on the situation in the reaction of fans. Joel Bitonio wasn't crazy about the fan reaction. He did say, hey, look, I get it. Fans obviously have the right to cheer and boo in any fashion that they see fit, but it is not a great look when fans are seemingly pleased that a player got injured. And look, Andy, I mean, it's certainly hard to argue that, right? Criticizing performance, which obviously is something we do on a daily and,
right.
and weekly basis, that's certainly
fair to tell you that there's never been one day where I've wished an injury or wished that I even on players that I don't like or hate, or you just don't wish injury on anybody. I mean, it's their livelihood. It is everything they do. And every other player that's out there sees that. And they all know that they're a fraction of a second away from maybe perhaps being in the same position. So when you hear the players sound like they're a little bit, a little bit more passionate about this kind of a situation, it's because I think there's a sense of reality for these players. And I think we see it because we see it every day. To me, thinking back to LeCharles Bentley when he got hurt at training camp and the hopes, the aspirations of watching the former St. Ignatius guy from Ohio State yeah. come back from ANO, and you see how quickly a career can be gone. And so all of that goes into the psyche of all these players. And so when they see, one of their comrades out there fall victim to injury, it doesn't matter what their last name is. It doesn't matter that nothing before that moment happens matters. And so that's why I just think it's an interesting situation that, if you look at social media, the fans of Cleveland aren't looked upon in a very good light. And, again, is it all the fans? No, it's not. And we should always put that in perspective. But just enough fans to make it sound loud enough to make it be a big deal, yep, that's a bad deal. We can't, as fans, as Browns fans, you just can't be in that situation.
Yeah, and look, I'll tell you, I was told the Haslams noticed the pregame booze for Deshaun when he
placed. That was an interesting moment. Rog takes back
yeah.
that, too.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson was introduced right before Nick Chubb, and he was booed loudly, and the Haslams definitely heard the fans' displeasure there. And again, that's fair. I mean, there's no issue there. And then, obviously, this is
pregame, though. This is pregame. And it was weird what was after.
Yeah, and then Nick Chubb, the contrast immediately, then Nick Chubb is introduced, and, obviously Chubb gets the warm reception. But, look, you want to boo a player's performance. You want to criticize a player's performance. Absolutely fair. I mean, it's fans' hard-earned money that they're investing to come to these games, and this is entertainment. But as the basic theme from the locker room is yes. It is a game. We're trying to win. We're trying to play at a high level. We're disappointed with how things are going, but there's no reason whatsoever to celebrate any player, let alone a player that's playing for you, celebrating them being hurt and not only just being hurt, but being seriously hurt. He was carted off the field. So I that's...
Buying a ticket does not give you a license to be an idiot. That's the... My dad used to say that to me all the time. He'd be like, these people buy tickets, but it doesn't mean you have a license to be an idiot. And would you say something to a player's face if you weren't behind this imaginary wall in the stands? I think that's just a good way to go through life.
But yeah, so
you choose your own path. I'm not going to tell you how to live your life, but I know that. And I've sat in dugouts and been on the field for some pretty harsh stuff. And, a lot of these guys don't have rabbit ears and they're not affected by it. Some will say it's part of the game.
But in that case, it's hard to miss it because everyone is on the field, play has stopped, they're tending to the guy. Obviously, it's very easy for the players to be hearing what the reaction in the stands is. So now I will say this, it almost feels like we're back to the tough times, the 1-31 times where it became the team against the fans and then the media too.
Yeah.
All that whole triumvirate of things. And, Myles Garrett said after the game, he was asked about the fact that they are where they're at. He just said, I'm disappointed. And as far as the reality now, Andy, they're 1-6. They just lost to a bad football team in the Cincinnati Bengals, 21-14. The final score does not really indicate any closeness in actuality as far as how the game was played. And now you're at a point where the Ravens are coming to town. The Chargers will be coming. The bye week can't get here.
It's Harbaugh.
Forget the bye week, though. We can't get to January. We can't get to the middle of January fast enough now because this is going to be a long, difficult road to the finish line.
Right.
We may not see many fans in the stands here going forward for many of these games because of...
Well, we're going to see fans. I mean, the drive over from Pittsburgh isn't very far. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to see those folks over here. That's almost a gimme. let's talk about something positive. Nick Chubb came back today. He scored a touchdown, 11 carries, 22 yards. Kind of reflecting, I thought Kevin used him the way he always uses him. You know, if you go back and look over the last two seasons, there's a mark of like 17 carries that the majority of the games that he has played in the last couple of years, not obviously since he got hurt, but before that, it was like 17 carries or less, or it would be a game where they used him 22, 25 plus. So, you know, this fell into what was the majority. If you go back two seasons ago, I think he had 10 of the 17 games and the 17-game schedule where he was 17 carries or less. So I think this is kind of reflective of the way Kevin wants to run the running game no matter what. But by the same token, I don't know that he needed to be out there for more than 15 carries anyway. You got to ease him back into this thing. And I'm sure that he was nervous before he took his first hit. But as everyone I've talked to has played the game says, you got to get that first hit so you can feel a little bit better about being a football player and going, okay, this injury isn't going to hamper me anymore, and I'm moving forward.
Yeah, Neil, that was part of the reason that you didn't see a lot of Nick Chubb in the second half as well. So it just was look, I'm glad he got in. Because he got in and there was a penalty that took it off the boards. But, you know, the fact that he was able to actually get it to count, right. I thought was great. I mean, he averaged 2 yards a carry. And that's, you know, just the fact that he was even able to return. Targeted three times. Of course, the first play of the day went to Chubb. And unfortunately, it was a smidge high and Chubb couldn't haul it in on the check down there. But, this is going to be a gradual process of easing him in. And, you know, as I had been warning folks for weeks that, you know, Nick Chubb was not going to be the savior to salvage this season for the Browns. You know, the greater concern now is this is another week, Andy. They didn't score 20 points. You know, this is the third time in franchise history now that the Browns failed to score 20 points in their first seven games, 1975. 1999, and of course now here in 2024, and that's alarming too. So Deshaun wasn't on the field, so DTR comes in. Kevin Stefanski was telling us the truth when he was asked a couple of weeks ago, hey, why stick with Deshaun? And Kevin said, hey, he gives us the best chance to win. Well, I laughed and mocked Kevin for that, and I might have to wear it because Kevin.
Oh, you know, Jameis,
tell the truth.
But Jameis did lead them to a touchdown at the end of the game.
Yeah, the game was over.
I understand that, but I still think there's a lot of fans that want to see what Jameis Winston looks like. And at this point, I'm just wondering who's the starting quarterback next week. If DTR is healthy, is he the starter?
I think you have to go with him because here's what you have to look at now: the season's not salvageable.
Right.
Right. So, are you better off getting another true evaluation of DTR by having him go in there? I say yes. I think you get more by starting DTR from a big picture standpoint, more so than if you go to Jameis Winston. And that's nothing against Jameis, but you know, DTR is in his sophomore season. You can really get an assessment of just what type of development has taken place from his rookie year into this year. And then going forward, you know, how does he improve week to week in that? But he's got a banged up finger now. We don't know the severity of it. You know, going to be, you know, having some tests or whatever. You know, hopefully Kevin Stefanski will have an update for us on Monday. If not Monday, then by Wednesday. And then obviously if he's banged up, then Andrew Berry has to go out and get another quarterback because then it will be Jameis Winston time just by default.
Well, it doesn't get any easier next week. It's the Ravens, so.
Oh, I'm sorry. Were you looking for something profound to come out of my mouth?
I wasn't. I was just going to say goodbye with that. We want to remind you we're brought to you by Bryant and Smiley One. Smiley One, our good friends at Smiley One. And Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. So we'll talk to you middle of the week. Make sure you're looking out for Daryl's Brownie Bites throughout the week, too. We'll be back for postgame next week. The Browns are home for the next 2 weeks with 1 o'clock kickoffs. And that might be the norm for a lot of the season when we're moving down the road. It's always for Evan O'Brien. Thank you, Evan. We appreciate you. For Evan O'Brien, it's always Game Day in Cleveland.